Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
The Beacon newspaper, every Sunday morning, we bring you a little bit of the Beacon. We call it the Beacon Bit. Stuart, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Eric. What You're in great form today.
Hey, thanks. What do we Good coffee this morning.
That's right.
What do we got?
Well, I wanted to mention that, you know, tax season is not that far off. I mean, we're in the midst of it, really, till April 15th. So we wanted to mention some places where older adults can go to get help with their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
There are two places that people might have heard of before. One is called Tax Counseling for the Elderly. Unfortunately, it's got that pejorative term, but TCE program is sponsored by the IRS, and it provides free tax preparation and counseling to middle and low-income taxpayers who are 60 or older.
Okay.
So we have the numbers for those places to call. AARP runs many of these sites. They call them their tax aid program, but they're doing it through the IRS. And there's something else that's for people of all ages. You don't have to be over 60, but if you have income of $52,000 or less as an individual, you can take a part in the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, the VITA program.
Mm.
And there are offices in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia to help you with those taxes that way.
Wow. Okay. What else?
Well, Goodness. For everybody, yeah. I think everybody knows that credit cards are a mixed blessing.
They're from the devil.
Well, not all of them, actually. They do a lot of good for people, but they also can get you in trouble. So we have an article that not only reminds you the logical way to use a credit card is to pay off the bill every month and not to run up those high interest charges.
Wait, hold on. You're saying don't spend more than you actually have?
It's incredible to think of that, isn't it? What's the point of a credit card if it isn't to spend more than you have?
Right. I thought it was so you could spend more than you actually have.
Well, it is for short period of time, but the problem is when people make it, you know, the rest of their lives. So this article talks about those credit cards for those people who can pay off their bills at the end of the year,
right,
at the end of the month, and who want to make a rebate because there's so many great rebates out there now,
right,
on credit cards.
Right.
So he mentions Target, which has a card that gives you 5% back on everything you buy at Target, which is huge, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah. And then there are other ones. There's the Chase Freedom Visa, which gives you 5% back on certain things every 3 months. They sort of pick what they are. So like these first 3 months of the year, it's gas stations, movies, and Starbucks. You get 5% back. And everything else, you get 1% back. And then there are cards that give you 1.5% or 2% back. They're all listed here. So if you, and they're free.
Uh-huh.
All the cards are no-fee cards. So you can really, you know, get into the business of getting discounts, even if you buy things on sale, through your credit card alone. So,
makes good sense. You know, if you're gonna pay for something, get the benefit of something free in exchange for that. I think the critical thing is not to overspend, and so building a budget that you can adhere to is by far
absolutely
the most important
thing.
Right.
Now, there are cases, of course, like your health, where you may have a big expense up front, and you know you have to pay it out over time. So there is a very interesting card there called the Care Credit Card. It's gotten mixed reviews, but the writer here who writes for us says that he uses it. It gives you 12 to 18 months to pay off the balance interest-free. If you don't pay it off within that 12 or 18-month period, then you have very high interest rates going back to the beginning. So you really don't want to miss paying that off on time. But if you pay it on time, if you can spread that cost out over a year, year and a half,
right,
you can really, you know, do it without any extra cost to yourself. And one thing he suggests, which I think is very clever, he says if you own your home, you can get a line of credit. Generally speaking, they're free. You borrow against your house at a very low interest rate. And what he has done is if he can't make that 12-month or 18-month deadline on the Care Credit Card, he borrows on his home equity, which is a very low rate, and he pays off the high rate Care Credit Card. And then he only has to pay off the lower rate on his home equity loan. So
plus,
clever ways of doing it.
Yeah, well, you're right. And plus, you get the benefit, if you are paying interest, of having the tax deduction on the interest on your property that you don't get on paying interest on the
credit card,
right?
That's a very good point. Yeah.
So a home equity line of credit is a good tool as a tool. So just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
And think of it that way. So what else do we have this week?
One other article on that I want to mention, which is about lowering your home heating costs. Again, mm-hmm. it's pretty much common sense kind of stuff, but we have a number of suggestions. Everything from getting an energy audit to see where you're wasting your fuel, and then getting a high-efficiency furnace. It can save you up to $14 on every $100 you spend on fuel.
Wow. That and much more in your copy of The Beacon. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Okay. You got to choose a realtor, right? You got to pick somebody who's going to represent your interests. And you want somebody who's honest and sincere, not perfect, but excellent, right? Somebody who's going to be great at marketing your property and really selling the value of what it is you have to offer. And that might be, you might be in a contemporary built back in the 1950s in Alexandria, right? You could be in a home that Charles Goodman designed, and you want somebody who appreciates the floor-to-ceiling windows and understands how to sell the value of Goodman's influence by Frank Lloyd Wright. Or maybe you live in a more modern-style single-family home built by Kettler or Pulte, and you want to be able to sell the benefits of antique brick. And why is it the most expensive brick you can buy today? And what's the history of that brick? You want somebody who can point out brick and block construction, who can focus on the trees and whether this is a pin oak, a swamp oak, or what it might be. You don't know. But you want an agent who can identify things very quickly about what you have and sell people on why it's a good value. I often quote Warren Buffett because this is a perfect, perfect description for what a realtor should do. Price is what you pay, but value is what you get. When I meet with a seller and I say, okay, let's come up with a price. For instance, I had a home in Bethesda, which I listed last fall for $1,150,000. Now, I put it on the market in the fall, and it's not really the best time to put a house up for sale, and we didn't have a lot of interest. And the seller and I had a conversation, should we lower the price at that point? And I said, really, this isn't a pricing issue. It isn't a pricing issue. It's a market issue. The price is right because the value is there for the price that we're asking. The issue really is timing. We got to get to where the market's going to be its best. Let's pull it off the market for 90 days, and we'll put it back up in the middle of February. Last week, I held an open house, and you've heard me talk about open houses. They only sell homes 1% of the time, right? So it's oftentimes not the open house that sells the property. It's a facilitator. It just opens the doors and allows a lot of people, including your neighbors, suspects sometimes, and sometimes prospects to walk through. Well, we had over 25 groups come through the property on Sunday. And we had multiple people interested in purchasing the property. And we didn't even have to discuss pricing, right? Because it wasn't a pricing issue. The value is what you want to be able to sell well if you're a realtor. If you're a realtor listening and you want to know how to sell the value of something, you have to take the positive. What is this thing translate into what's in it for me, for the buyer? The buyer walks in and, you know, you point out the fact that it's got an elevator. Well, what's the benefit of an elevator to a buyer who doesn't need one? It may not be that great. So you got to focus the benefit and the value for the audience that you're speaking to and sell that value, and then you'll get your price. All right. So 10 questions you should ask a realtor before you hire one is a great way for you to identify what are the, you know, who should I hire? You're going to interview a few realtors, and you know, you've heard me say, I'd love to be one of the realtors that you interview. I really would appreciate the opportunity for you to consider me. All right. And that's painless because, hey, you know, you want to make a good decision. I encourage you to make a good decision and even to know what questions to ask. If you're at that point, you think, hey, you know, I am interviewing realtors. Let me give Stuart a call. Call me. 800-900-9104. It's painless and we are wonderful and there's no obligation. Okay. It's 800-900-9104. So what's one question you should ask? Like, why should I hire you? And what makes you different? Oh, and by the way, let me digress. If you haven't bought a home in the last 15 years, the questions I'm going to ask here are very different than what you might have asked before. Okay? Because in reality, broker open houses on Tuesdays, big waste of time. You get a lot of brokers coming through to get the free food. Okay? Maybe win a gift certificate to Nordstrom, and that's why they're there. But for you as a seller, is that really going to sell your house? Do agents really walk through and then go back to the office and pick up the phone and call their buyer and say, hey, by the way, I've got one? No, that's not how it happens. In fact, the buyers are way ahead of the realtors now. Really, the quality of dissemination of information is a big part of the success of realtors who do the business well. What do I mean by dissemination? I mean, they're sending information across many, many different channels, including the internet, potentially video, radio, other things like that. Like in a little bit, I'm going to talk about some of the properties I have on the market, and I have some come into the market. I'm going to talk about those because I want you to be interested. Maybe you're in the market to buy something. Number two, describe your marketing strategy. Three, how long does it take to usually sell your listings? You want to know that, right? Number four, do you offer a guaranteed buy program? Number five, do you offer an in-depth staging consultation as part of your fee? Number six, do you offer a dedicated customer care representative? Number seven, do you have a reference list of clients? Number eight, does your broker control your advertising or do you? Number nine, how will you research my particular area? And number 10, In what price range do you usually sell homes? Now, if you didn't write all that down, don't worry. I'm going to make it easy. You just call me and I'll send you a free copy. The guide also tells you what improvements will get you the most money, when's the best time to sell in the DC market, and so much more. It's free, okay? And it is 46 pages long, and it's free information. I want to help you. So call me now, 800-900-9104, toll free. Or go to ericstewartgroup.com, and you can request a copy there. Again, that's 800-900-9104. Quick break. I'll be right back with Cody Kessler.